Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to whatever we're doing here now.
Uncharted Treasures.
Welcome to Season 1, Episode 2 of Uncharted Treasures. I'm Devin.
And I'm Dustin.
Okay, I was going to say to my left, but that's fine.
It's going
to
be okay. We're going to get through this. So today, we are exploring Oregon. Particularly the Oregon coast. We are going to help you search for is a little rough, but look for the Spanish pirate gold of the Neocony Mountains. It's a pretty big legend out here in Oregon, and something fun about Oregon is...
So Oregon passed the Treasure Trove Law of 1967, initiating a permit system that regulated treasure hunting. Because this mountain was so popular.
In particular, this mountain. But remember, we're talking about Gold Rush here. It's a part of the Californias in that time. Like, we are hot on that treasure route. So expect, particularly this season and maybe a few others, for us to really cover Oregon, some part of Northern California, and then Washington in terms of treasure hunting. And it's really cool that Oregon actually has, like, you can get a permit and you can go treasure hunting. That's pretty fun. Right?
Yeah, that's all about. The legislation actually got appealed in 1999 because, I mean, there was just so much conflict with the law being passed.
So wait, do we need the law?
The law for this place, there's some places you cannot dig.
Okay.
But this one, it got revoked.
All right. Well, you needed a law originally. And I guess that's kind of fun. So we begin our legend in history, all right? So we're going to talk about the Neocony Mountain, in particular, that's a part of Tillamook County, and kind of where that goes. So we're going to use some words that are a little bit hard for us to pronounce, and also a little bit unfamiliar, unless you're from Oregon, to where we're talking. So we're hoping you can research them as well. So think of the words of Tillamook County, Neocony, and then Nehalem Bay, or Nehalem. Either way you want to say it. Yeah, you can add a little bit of spice to it. So our story starts in late 1600s. A Spanish sailing ship came into the Nehalem Bay. Some version of the story says it dropped anchor there. Others says it was a galleon that was shipwrecked.
So some fun things about the Neocony Mountain. Native Americans, particularly from the Tillamook tribe, they describe it as the place of creator, a mountain place of high spiritual importance. Further story can go into story cycles of ice and south wind, which are key figures from their time of creation. And it's prominent in Native oral tradition. And I have a fun side note here. I recently read a book, what was last year, but Moonwalking with Einstein, and it talked about how a lot of the Native American tribes would build stories and lore into topographical features throughout their lands. So
you're saying, like, based on, like, what the land's archetype was, that's what the feature of the actual myth is.
Right, yes. Perfect.
Okay. So, did you want to explain what a galleon was?
Oh, did you cover it? Oh, yeah.
I did.
Wonderful. I'm up two parts. Okay, so a galleon is a large ship. There's several levels, and it's usually an armed merchant ship meant for carrying.
So, like, carrying gold?
Whatever you want to carry, probably a galleon can get it done.
Okay, all right. So far, first part of our story, we're checking out. Both versions go on to say a group of men climbed into a small boat and rowed through the breakers to the shore. The men then walked straight up inland and up the side of a shoreside bluff called Neocony Mountain, carrying a heavy chest. Of course, we're always carrying a heavy chest. Why wouldn't we be? At some point on the side of the mountain, they stopped, set the chest down, started digging. The whole time, apparently, or I should say allegedly, the local natives had been watching with great curiosity. At last, the hole was deep enough, and the chest was lowered into it. Then, apparently, and this is the part where the legend gets a little murky, because someone on that of the men that carried this chest knew that the natives wouldn't disturb a man's grave. you know, question mark there. One of the bearded strangers drew his cutlass and plunged it into another, a dark-skinned man, apparently an African slave. This unfortunate fellow, once he finished dying, was then tossed on top of the chest, and the man and the chest were buried together. Because this man knew that the native Indians wouldn't disturb a gravesite. I'm not sure how he knew that, but that's a little twist. We're going to toss a little plot twist in there. From here, the story diverges again. So again, we're kind of going in different directions. So just bear with us and we'll see if we can get there. One has the ship hoisting anchor and disappearing over the horizon. In another, several sailors are left behind to guard the ship, but quarrel with the natives over women and are killed in the ensuing fights. Perhaps the most ludicrous version is a shipwreck scenario. It has a captain of the ship killing all of his crew members who won't fit into a lifeboat, then setting out into the open sea and rowing it to Baja! Because why wouldn't you? I mean, if you're going to go to Baja, they've got great tequila and tacos there. You gotta just row yourself, you apparently. You gotta get that in, yeah. From Oregon. The mountain hasn't been... So that's kind of our legend. That's our tale, all right? So there's a shipwreck or a ship basically putting its anchor down and then these men carrying a large chest of Spanish bullion or Spanish gold of some sort and then burying it in Neocani Mountain. And that's where we're going to get a little, that's the gist of our story. This is where our story, our treasure hunters that we've had.
Marinates around.
Yeah. I mean, it's all going. But the mountain hasn't been the same since. One settler after another has become obsessed with the legend and had gone to try and retrieve the Spanish gold. People spent years, decades, and their whole lifetimes digging up hopeful holes in the bluff. In the 1870s, a treasure hunter named Pat Smith found some stones marked with arrows, crosses, and letters that read DEW, or D-E-W, but nothing more. And during the 1930s, actually 1931, a father and son duo passed away. Because they had dug a 30-foot deep hole and it caved in on them. So people are searching for this treasure. This legend has been passed. His name was Charles and Lynn Wood. They're the father and son that had passed away. And so this legend has grown.
Yeah, and this is, I mean, there's because of intensive treasure hunting during the 20th century, Neocani has become known as the Mountain of a Thousand Holes. And there's damage to the mountain and an adjacent park, Oswald West State Park, that has ranged from bulldozed trenches to bottomless pits. There's one treasure hunter to mention, Ed Fire. He's also known as Tony Moreno. This individual has many aliases, so it's hard to pinpoint which one we could use. But he's supposedly from Salem, and he did a lot of damage.
he was the one digging a lot of the holes.
They name him from the sources specifically.
That's what you have. I have Thomas McKay, so I have a treasure. I have a different story of treasure hunter finding said treasure as well.
Let's hit it.
Okay, so Thomas McKay, it says back in the early 1800s, the fur trapper Thomas McKay arrived in the Astorian party of an ill-fated sailing ship, the Tonquin. Here, he must have heard about the treasure because after he'd become an employee of the Hudson Bay Company, which was a huge company at that point, he started coming to the mountain, spade in hand. He worked obsessively, digging and scourging every spare moment. Just like, who was your guy? Tony Montana? No, it was...
Tony Moreno.
Tony Moreno. Real close. Then one day, he suddenly walked away from the mountain, quit his job, and disappeared. Which, if you do any gold rush treasures, this is literally, like, point by point, how all the treasure hunters... Like, somebody found the gold, and they disappeared. And then it says, years later, when he settled at French Prairie by the Willamette River, he seemed oddly flush with cash. Not to the point of being flashy about it, but never worried about money either, and quite generous when it came to his friends. And this was before the 1848 gold rush, when other residents of the Willamette Valley were using bushels of wheat and Abernathy rocks as currency. So this guy somehow had wealth. People think he found it. It doesn't sound like he did. You know, there's a bunch more. There's a bunch more legends to this of where it's buried and who you have one. You want to go into that one?
Right. This one explains, so many Euro-American settlers found large stones inscribed with questionable puzzling marks near Nihikani Mountain. Many individuals thought these stones were treasure maps. A theory fueled by Native American story mentions that a European ship dropping anchor near Nihikani and sending a boat ashore with the crew, who buried a large box on the mountain's southwest.
Which is the same thing, yeah, that's the right, same story. Right, right.
Placed a marker and sailed away. However, the Tillamook Pioneer Museum director, Wayne Jensen, he had a theory from, and he lived from 1967 to 2003, and he...
Oh, so pretty recent.
Yeah. Pretty recent. He said that the expedition landed in 1579, and it was part of Sir Francis Drake's when he circumnavigated the globe. And that was his theory.
So he thought Sir Francis Drake was the actual pirate, or something.
Right, that left the marks on the side of the mountain.
Okay. Why would he stop here and bury something?
I mean, that's a good question. it says he was doing a survey.
Okay.
So, but later in...
I'm going to bury my goal with my survey.
Yeah. I mean, it marks the spot. X marks the spot right there. I mean,
but why would we bury it if it's survey? Okay. Anyway, do you know... So where did the guy from the Tillamook thing, he thinks it's actually there or it's not there?
It's not there. He thought that these marks were just described by Sir Francis Drake and his expedition.
Okay. All right. So you mentioned he was alive from 2003, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's even a movie.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's when he was director of the museum.
Oh, he was director.
Not when he died.
Okay, so he's still alive. Hopefully, possibly. There was a movie called The Tillamook Treasure or The Legend of the Tillamook's Gold. It's an indie movie that has won a bunch of like fun little indie awards. We have a link to the trailer, the YouTube trailer for it in our notes. It's okay.
There's some pause. Do you want
to? It's a little, like, the trailer's a little rough. Truth be told, I haven't watched the movie with all the research I was doing for this, and I'm going to be okay with that, I think.
Will you live on?
It basically says the whole thing. It's the same kind of concept. I have one more small little story for you, too. This is more about where things are or where people, like you were saying, X marks the spot. So it says, considering evidence supports the assumption of buried treasure near Nihikani. In addition to the Indian legend, and remember, this is where we're kind of getting this from. This is from Native American legend. There are records of Spanish ships loaded with treasure gained in the raids of South America cities, sailing northward from Peru, never to be heard from again. Mysterious markings carved into the rocks on Nihikani Mountain could hold the key to the location of the treasure. Just a side note here. Remember, we've been searching for this treasure, or people have been, since the early 1800s. So it might just be people leaving things that they're searching for it, right? That could be the clues there. At Three Rocks Beach in North Lincoln County, skeletons and remnants of an old sailing vessel were found. One of the skeletons belonged to a man thought to be nearly 8 feet tall. Stone walls, masonry, and ground mounds of rocks placed in the shape of an inverted W with a base nearly a mile long, have been discovered by treasure hunters near Nihikani. If the treasure is there, it has eluded an army of treasure hunters. Once again, like Devin said, the mountain of holes. Literally, people have done so much. They brought bulldozers and backhoes. But the fun part of this is, if this is where it's at, if this is on the Nihikani Mountain, they have figured it is in Oswald West State Park. The fun thing about this is that you can't actually legally look for treasure in that park. You cannot dig anymore because of how much we've messed up. We, being the people, have messed up the mountain. So with that kind of looping our legend or story of the legend closed, Devin actually found something really fun to think about. Because the other thing we didn't really touch on, because it's part of the legend, but it's mostly what people have found. They've never found gold that we know of, but and or anything else besides like skeletons, like I just said. But there is something they have found. So you want to talk about that, what they found?
Right. So, after looking for possible identifications of this supposed missing galleon, that landed off Oregon's coast. It is believed to be a Spanish galleon known as Santo Cristo de Borges, which left Manila, in 1693, the galleon was loaded with Chinese goods and beeswax. The approximate crew was around 220 with 16 passengers.
Which would all fit in the galleon.
Yes. Whether or not the crew survived the wreck is unknown, but beeswax is likely one of the first and earliest shipwrecks in the Pacific Northwest. You can still find large portions of the beeswax that are near the area and are stored in that nearby museum that we've mentioned. Several members have searched for lost treasure from the ship, but to conclude, I have found no evidence of credible information about there ever been any treasure. It's not listed on the ship's manifest from any of my sources.
Of the ship that you found that crashed, right?
Yes.
So there's no, okay. So just to go over that, we have actually found beeswax. It's in the Tillamook Museum, correct?
Yep.
So this ship that you found legit crashed, like this is what it was. It is a galleon-style ship, at least what they thought or could create, you know, of the manifest. And yet that's what it was carrying. And it could carry all those people. And there's no mention of gold. Here's the interesting thing to me, at least. Here's where I'll add the opinion as we kind of end this episode, is... This, again, comes from Native American lore. This isn't coming from, there's no historical Spanish galleon manifesto that had gold coming anywhere, right?
You can find records.
Well, but there was, yes, and there were pirates, and we totally get that. And there this could be a story of pirates, particularly if someone, like the legend says, there was a cutlass, he killed a dude, you know, like that's very pirate-like, right? He killed his slave, he buried the slave in the treasure. That's a little fun little twist on the pirate walking into the thing, you know, walking in, X marks the spot, dropping the treasure. Especially if for some reason he knows that there are natives that are watching them. That's very interesting of a tale to me. If I'm going to break this thing down into like, all right, is this believable or not? Sure, it can be kind of believable, right? I mean, like everybody loves the pirate story. But
oral traditions or like tales tend to get distorted the longer they pass through history.
I think that's the part to me that gets a little wonky is that we have multiple tales of the same thing, right? It's the legend is handed down. There's gold in these hills, so to speak, right? There's gold on this mountain, and there sure could be. We can't dig it up legally anymore, so we may never know. And I just think it was I like this legend because it's not a mine, you know, it's not panning for gold. It's not something, you know, quote unquote, like, you know, someone found or someone stole or any, you know, it's a fun, really cool old legend of basic pirate treasure and or basic Spanish treasure somehow getting here. And we had to bury it because the ship was either wrecked or, you know, or something of that nature. I think that's really cool. I just love the legend of this story. Do you have anything to add?
Yeah, I think one of the things you can pick up from this story is if you live in a coastal state or you're interested in living, I Googled just shipwrecks in your area. I mean, we live in Oregon, but there's, an infinite list of possible shipwrecks and where they landed. So if you are, you know, into diving or you are into shipwrecks, it's a really fun rabbit hole to get into.
Yeah, particularly if you live on any coast. Yeah. Or side note, you know, international listeners here. It was a podcast, could go anywhere. I've been to Iceland and they have a full, like when you go, I mean, Iceland's a small island, but when you go to Reykjavik, they have like a map right when you're on the coast that has literally all the shipwrecks that are around the island that are just there, right?
Doing work for you.
Yeah, it's cool. That's definitely a neat idea and a neat kind of thing to look into. I think that's a great idea, a great little rabbit hole. So that's the Neocani Mountain and the missing Spanish gold, so to speak, or hopefully, you know, if you're out this way, do some research. Maybe it's not on that mountain. There's, you know, like I said, there's the coast of Oregon is, I'm, you know, in terms of ghost stories and lost treasure and things of that nature, it is pretty wild. It's got some fun tales, for not being settled. You know, like the East Coast was, you know, obviously we were in the West. So
I figured Jamestown would have some ghosts.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. But I mean, like, Astoria, you know? So Astoria, it's a great thing there. That's where Goonies is based off of, right? That's where the ship is. That's where, like, that's... This is that same concept, except this is kind of the originator of it all. And Astoria, from where the Neocony Mountain and then Nehalem and then Tillamook, that area is, it's not far from Astoria. Like, that's pretty fun. It's pretty fun that the legend either made its way up there or was, you know, around that area.
At this point in Oregon, it seems like treasures and lore and stories and adventures kind of like a Venn diagram.
I would agree. I would agree. Absolutely. So as I hit the desk with my knee that we're recording on, we do want to talk about a couple of things. That was the end of our story. We thank you for listening. Super excited to keep this kind of going. We have some... kind of housekeeping, I'd say. Like, right? Yeah, housekeeping announcements, kind of stuff. You know everything. Do you want to tell the people, tell everybody?
Right. We're working on a website. Working on a couple different sources, but definitely a base where you guys can further investigate, and clues will be left on whatever.
For our season one treasure.
Yeah, season one treasure will be definitely based online. That's where you find the clues. I don't want to give anything too much away.
No. We'll give you. So how can they contact us? What are they looking for?
Right. So our email is unchartedtreasurespod.
All one word, at
gmail.com. We tried to get it shorter, but those unfortunately were already taken.
We don't like those people.
Well, but this also means we're doing the right thing because it is kind of popular. I mean, like, if we just stumbled upon something.
Is it popular, like wicked popular, or is it just popular?
I don't understand that question.
So you don't understand?
Are we weird, or are we the next big thing?
Just popular, or is it like popular? Which one is it?
I want to go with the latter.
The second one. All right, the little bit of that. Okay, totally understandable.
Let's get some harmony in this.
So all right. So we have. We're just going to be blabbering on now. So we have
a Discord group.
Okay, which is. You don't know.
It's Uncharted Treasures.
Uncharted Treasures. Yeah, that's how normal. It is. If you're on Discord, I don't even know what that is.
Hoping to build a community where you can share, just talk about stuff.
Yeah, it should be fun.
We're both involved. Send us any sites or sources you want
to interest. And when he says involved, I at least have the Discord app. So I'll be involved.
I mean, I'll talk with you.
I'll talk. Yeah, I'll be involved a Jace, I would say. We're going to launch social media. We're not there yet. Obviously, this is just our second episode. We're trying to get something. I am convincing Devin, regardless if he wants to do it or not, that we will do a short 2 to 5 minute just kind of explaining our idea of the treasure, our philosophy behind it, and kind of maybe your first clue. And then, like Devin said, it will either be on our website for further clues, or there'll be other ways. But every single season is going to have a treasure that we bury. And I'll tell you, the quote-unquote treasure, or the prize, is always going to be in different locations, in different areas of the world. We're not even saying the whole country, if you're in the United States, because that's where we're based out.
No, that's small time. We want to go big.
So the more seasons we do, the more treasure it'll be. And it'll range in value. So that's kind of the fun thing about this. And we're hoping it catches on. Not only this, but we love adventure. We love the idea of finding treasure. Who doesn't, if you're listening to this podcast? So that would be the end, I think.
No, I got nothing else.
No, we're all done. All right, so that was episode 2, season 1. Thanks for listening.
Bye.